Perhaps her head was lying on his chest. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. Why suddenly talk about his fruit? Because in chapter 7, verse 8, see, scripture interprets scripture. It says, I said, and here is the opposite, but the same figure used. I said, I will go up to the palm tree, I will take hold of its branches. Let now your breasts be like clusters of the vine, the fragrance of your breath like apples, and the roof of your mouth like the best wine. Now notice here, when he talks about wine, he's talking about them kissing. French kissing. It's in the Bible, but it's called wine. Excuse me. And so here, and he talks about apples. Apples means that it's a mouth-to-mouth kissing. If you are feeling a bit uncomfortable, please raise your towels. Now, in chapter 1, like I say, all these things we need to... I'm teaching God's Word. This is the only book we have touched like that. It's the only one of its kind. There's none like it. And the way God puts it in the context to show us the beauty of sexual love. Just as He showed us the beauty of the relationship between the believer and the Lord, the church and Jesus Christ. The spiritual interpretation. Now here, that is why now you begin to understand why in chapter 2, verse 3, when it says like an apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down in his shade with great delight. His fruit was sweet to my taste. What? How come she suddenly start eating him? Is she a cannibal? No, it's talking about her tasting his saliva. Can you see the figurativeness of Solomon, how he hid all these things in his allegory? And then, you notice as you read here, that looking over in chapter 2, verse 13, the fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Now, of course, people can interpret this literally to talk about spring. That is one aspect. That is the first interpretation, the literal interpretation. The second is spiritual, the third, the natural. Now, in chapter 2, verse 13, if you bear in mind that grapes and vine represents either the entire person or it represents the breast of the beloved, which is found in chapter 6, chapter 7, verse 7. It says the stature of yours is like a palm tree and your breasts like its clusters. Can you see that, how you compare her breasts to vine? And so he's very clever at talking. It's all in code. When he says, I like your grapes, he means I like your breasts. This King Solomon really, really very, very clever at codes. And actually, look here, I'm only giving you places here and there where I feel that I have liberty to give. Again, it says here in verse 10, chapter 4, how fair is your love, my sister, my spouse, how much better than wine is your love? Now again, when it talks about wine, then they will be involved in kissing. Because it talks about the roof of her mouth is like the wine. If you would retranslate all those things that he himself interprets somewhere in this book, you would have a detailed explanation, step by step, of the relationship and the beauty of sexual love right through in its stages. Right through. And, well, I got to cover all these things too. And you will notice that in chapter 1, it was just the normal arousal state when they were looking at each other and they were touching each other's hair, etc. By chapter 2, you notice that even there are descriptions there in verse 6. His left hand is under my head and his right hand embraces me. And Verse 16. My beloved is mine, I am his. He feeds his flock among the lilies. Now, who is the lily? Look at chapter 2, verse 2. Verse 1. It says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. This is spoken by the Shulamite. Now it says, he feeds his flock on the lilies. In other words, they are closely embracing. You see that the Bible interprets itself, and it gives you a natural interpretation too, if you study this carefully. And there are also descriptions of different stages of arousal. And myrrh describes the talks about the lubrication liquid that comes forth in the different stages of arousal. If you study it very carefully. Here, notice in verse 4, the word chamber refers to the female part of the organ. Different stages. I won't go into details on that. But I just give you clues enough so that you can go home and realize there's a lot of richness in the Song of Solomon for the husband and wife to study together. There are things inside that no Christian has ever written upon yet. And what God is giving to us is to show us that what I have read to you in Ephesians chapter 5, remember Ephesians 5, verse 31 and 30, it says that the sexual union is a mystery that points to Jesus Christ. And you have in the Song of Solomon the whole expression of what Paul is saying in Ephesians. Fantastic. See, in Ephesians chapter 5, let me read to you again in verse 31, 32. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now, you can spiritualize it if you want, but in a natural, it talks about the sexual relationship in chapter 5, verse 31 of Ephesians. And then in verse 32, he says, this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, in the Song of Solomon, you have both. You have a description of the mystery of sexual union and the mystery of Christ and the church. Hallelujah. Fantastic. All in our Bible. So here, in the book of Song of Solomon, you notice that by chapter 3, that they were having some sort of relationship. And I let you go and discover and find out what the Gezel talks about in terms of that. They all are talking about different postures and different situations in the beauty of sexual love. So I'm giving you enough bits and pieces. And in chapter 4, in verse 12 and verse chapter 5, verse 1, you're wondering who that little sister is. It describes the female organs. All these are hidden by King Solomon. Now, here in chapter, you notice in chapter, that gives you meaning in chapter 8. That is why sometimes she is compared to a wall in verse 8. Chapter 8, verse 8. We are a little sister and she has no breasts. What shall we do for our sister? See, there's no connection at all to the other part otherwise. But you realize that there is now when you begin to compare. And then the battlement of silver, etc., boards of cedar. It begins to talk about the male organs, etc. All these things. And the studs of silver. Things that are there. Things that I'm not at liberty to mention in detail. Because I do not intend to embarrass anybody. These things will be more suitable in a marriage counseling course. But I'm, as a teacher of the Bible, it's my responsibility to tell you that there are aspects in this book that we are studying. Right? I believe that's sufficient. Right. Some of your faces turn so red. And I have no intention of embarrassing anybody. But it's my responsibility, as I teach the Bible, to show forth that Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, right to verse 32, is directly fulfilled in Song of Solomon. Both the spiritual aspect, which I believe is the main aspect, and the natural aspects that talk about all the different relationships and different levels of the beauty of sexual love. So that as Christians, we would have in the Song of Solomon a directive, a teaching, a commentary for all newlyweds to look into. Hallelujah. It's a Christian's perspective. Now tonight, as we talk about this area, we have to minister to people because we realize that the area of sexual problems is real in people's lives. And it can torment people because they hide it under the carpet. And there are many people who are tormented in that area because of lack of self-control, or sometimes it's a bondage of the past, but incest has taken place in their past life. But certain things have taken place in control of their mind. Or perhaps they are imbalanced in their opinion of this area that God has given as a gift to a husband and a wife. And that's what God inspired me to pray for tonight. And without embarrassing anybody, we'll pray just right where you are. We'll all stand together first on. And right now tonight, the Bible does declare to us that Jesus is our Lord. He's not only Lord of our finances. He's not only Lord over our thought life. He's not only Lord over our prayer life. He's not only Lord over our worship life. He's Lord also over our sexual life. And we need to yield that area of our life to Him. To let Him control us. To let Him balance. And many people, especially in our 20th century and our society today, it's rampant. Immorality is rampant. And people think that they can overcome sexual passion by ignoring it. You can't. You have to face it and look at it for what it is. And know where it is right, where it is wrong. To regard it as evil is to run to one side and not acknowledging it is given by God in a particular relationship. And there are many, I can assure you, there are many, many people. God spoke to me. There are many people who have problems in the sexual aspect of their life. Whether they are married or not married. And I want you to know, sex came from God. He is the one who can set you free to see the way He sees it. And to be able to be delivered from any bondage that the enemy has put over your life. Right now, however comfortable you are, just either put both hands up this way or both hands high. We're going to pray right now, corporately together. Father God, we thank You, Lord, even as I faithfully deliver Your word. And You have promised and You said, Lord, that You set Your people free from sexual passions and sin and things that displease You. From others, Lord, You want to set them free of their wrong thinking, Lord, in this area. Where they don't realize, Lord, that these are not things that will hinder their spiritual life if it's done in a moral way and between husbands and wives. And we ask, O God, right now, that Your Holy Spirit will bring healing into hearts and into lives right now. We pray for those who have been abused in some form. Or those who have abused others. We pray, O God, that the love of Jesus will come into hearts and lives. The pure, unadulterated, holy love of Jesus will come upon our hearts and lives right now. We pray, O God, that You will bring into each life a purity. We ask, O God, that You transform hearts and lives right now. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come against every foul demon of uncleanness. We come against every foul spirit of lust. We come against every foul spirit that puts people in bondage to the passions of the flesh. We come against every foul spirit that causes disharmony in homes and families in the sexual areas of their life. In Jesus' name, we take authority. And we command them to leave the lives of each one here right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We command the spirit of incest to leave lives here right now. In Jesus' name. And we command the spirit of adultery to leave lives right here in Jesus' name.